You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this program, and I know that you do, and I know you're going to love this program, because yes, Roi Shalom is back in the house. Roi Shalom is back in the house. We have a transfer day extravaganza for you coming out, and I know you're going to love it. And because you're going to love it, you're going to make sure you subscribe to us. You make sure you get us on Spotify. You make sure you get us on iTunes, on Google Podcasts. Leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review. Check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both. Make sure you download the app because the app has it all. If you want to have the latest in information coming out of Israel, we have it. That is the place to go. Let's get right into it. Roi Shalom, welcome back. How are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm great. You know, it's been a while, but we found the time, right, between, you know, my studies and me being sick, and, you know, it's all on me. So sorry not being there for the past week or so.
Oh, baby, look at that. It's all on Roi Shalom.
But it's all on me.
It's all on I'll you. All the it. Transfer news, all on you. So, you know what? Let's just dig right into the latest news here. With the Sports Rabbi, we got to go straight into all the transfer news. What is the biggest news? It has to be Oscar Glauch, right? Oscar Glauch going, of course, from Maccabi Tel Aviv to Red Bull Salzburg, signs up. He's already played an exhibition game. Christoph Freud was in Israel. Signed, sealed, deliver. Oscar Glauch on his way to Austria, already there. You got to figure this is a great move for him. Looking forward to seeing him play in the Austrian League. And then we're going to see where his career goes from there.
Yeah, and it's a perfect destination for him because we know what Red Bull Salzburg does to young players and how they treat young players. And, you know, there's the Holland, let's say Holland started there before, you know, now being just this amazing superstar. And, you know, Oscar is going right into, you know, in the right age, at the age of 18, to Salzburg. And, you know, they're going to give him the starting 11 or be on the fringe of starting over there. And this is a team that, you know, plays in Champions League, and now they're going to be in the Europa League. But, you know, every year they're in the Champions League, it's a really high tempo. They know how to teach you to get to the next level, and they usually sell you after, you know, 2 to 4 years. And that's why Oscar Glauch's contract is for 4.5 years. So that's pretty much the goal going forward, doing the jump from there, and not just jumping from Maccabi Tel Aviv to let's say even Barcelona.
That would have been a bad move. let's be honest.
Right.
We saw that worked out for Guy Asselin.
Yeah, and we should note that, you know, if he would have went to Barcelona, probably he would have been on the Barcelona B team, right, and maybe, you know, practice with the Barcelona A, and maybe, you know, play in a cup game here or cup game there, and probably he would have, you know, been swallowed up in that environment. So he made, you know, him and his dad has been making, you know, the best decisions for him since being a kid, doing the right small move after the other. And, you know, he got a lot of criticism signing, you know, the new contract in the summer. Why, you know, to stay in Maccabi Tel Aviv and get, you know, the extra paycheck. But, you know, it turned out to pay off, because if you ask me, Salzburg would have even paid more than $7 million, which was his buyout.
Yeah, well, they listen, I had a show last week with Roy Yankelevich. We all said this. I don't want to beat the dead horse again here, but they were actually, I think they were shocked at how low the buyout price was for him. And not only did they thought, I mean, that was what was reported. And not only that, they also basically said, we're not giving Maccabi Tel Aviv any future, you know, future percentages on sales. So, you know, you got to look at, you know, who did this contract with Oscar Glock, you know, earlier in the year that, you know, had a buyout of $7 million and didn't have percentages in there. Now, I don't know if that was the case of Oscar's father or representatives strong-arming Maccabi Tel Aviv, which could be the case, right? They could have said, listen, we're going to just let his contract run out. You know, this is what we know we can get. And this is what we, you know, this is what's going to be here. Now, they probably did have other offers already on the table for $7 million. That's why they knew that they could use that number. It seems Red Bull maybe wasn't even in the picture. So on one hand, I kind of like ripped apart Maccabi Tel Aviv and people that were dealing with the contract saying, well, you know, they shouldn't have been strong-armed like that. They should have been able to get much more for him, right? I mean, they could have probably got 8, 9, 10, 11 million, plus they should have put percentages in there. But on the other hand, they could have let them, like, theoretically, Glock could have been frozen and then they would have walked for free anyways at the end of the day. So it was probably a bad situation. But ultimately, you know, who's to blame? Mitch Goldhar. They probably could have avoided the situation a year or 2 years ago if they would have done the contract and they saw what the potential was, but they didn't have a proper CEO in place that understands the dealings of a soccer team. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from Sharon Tamam, who comes from the marketing side. She's not coming from a footballing side. Jack Angelides is not there full time. So, you know, who has been the CEO of the team? The last one was Ben Mansford a number of years ago. So there was nobody in Barak, like, let's be honest, Barak Itzchaki doesn't really know exactly the ins and the outs of these things, right? He learned for sure under Ben Mansford, but, you know, who knows how much faith, trust they all have for him in Canada. You know, I don't even want to go into it. I don't know. But if they would have had potentially a proper CEO in place that had dealt with contracts, maybe this could have been avoided already 2-3 years ago. I don't know. I mean, again, it's just, you know, as they say, hindsight's 20/20 at this point. Maccabi Tel Aviv at least got $7 million and they'll put that in the bank, or, you know, probably not going to be spending it on anybody. Do you think they're going to spend it on anybody? There was rumors that there were two players from Olympiacos on the radar, one of which I know has already fallen off the radar screen. So, you know, do you think Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to do anything here? Did that 0-0 draw against Hapoel Tel Aviv in the Derby, did that sway anybody? Did Karanka go and say, hey, listen, we really need somebody here? Like, you know, we're lacking in this area. Was that already pre-planned before he came, like, you know, when he was agreed to come in? You know, where's the truth? We always heard that Ivic was not happy because he didn't get players that he wanted, right? We heard about that for a long time, even though he did get Nir Biton, who, you know, has not had a good year. Aaron Zahavi, who did not apparently like playing under Vladimir Ivic. And that was really about it. So where does the truth lie over here with Maccabi Tel Aviv?
You know, first of all, we're talking 24 hours before the deadline, and it seems like they're just trying to do anything right now to add a foreigner to the club. And as you said, there was Conrad de la Puente, I hope I said it right, from Olympiacos, that already pretty much said that he is out. And also there's Camara, who's Egbo Camara from Olympiacos, who's still thinking about coming to Israel. It seems like he has also offers from Greece, and it seems like he's going to be alone. It's not even going to – he's not going to buy a player right now. And again, we know that they're looking for a winger. And, you know, that is the need right now of this team. And, you know, they tried to go after Diasaba, and we should say, you know, a word. We will get to Maccabi Haifa in just a bit. But, you know, there was this last moment, you know, try to steal Diasaba from Maccabi Haifa. That didn't work out. So right now, Maccabi Tel Aviv just stuck.
Right.
There was also There was also Hamoudi Khan, Muhammad Khan. But right now, Jackie just wanted a really high price tag, and he wants to go to Europe in the summer. So they're pretty much like looking for a player, but they don't have that player that they really want or found or haven't scouted. You know, there's always been this this rumor, as you said, that Maccabi Tel Aviv is working by the pressure and not by, you know, the other way around of being, you know, laid back and be ready for every option. Because they knew, the second they knew that Oscar Gluck has that option of leaving and teams were starting to check on him, they should have known that's it. Oscar Gluck is out in January, and we didn't expect it. You know, let's be honest.
The general public didn't expect it, because that's when right. They said, oh, you know, who knows? You know, again, listen, you don't know what really goes on. Forget about on Sherry de Sorel Street across where they have their offices, but where are the decisions really being made? They're not being made in Sherry de Sorel, and they're not being made at Kiryat Shalom. They're being made in Canada. So, like, nobody really knows what's going on. You know, let's be honest here, right? At the end of the day, you know, nobody really knows what's going on in Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, you know, they'll come up with their, you know, when we'll sign a player, we'll announce it in our due time, and we do things by this and we do things by that. And we'll say this, Eran Zahavi is a happy camper right now playing for Karanka. And, you know, I think that this is a good move. Juan Pablo's coming back as the goalkeeping coach. And it's amazing how these shows that we do always come back down to Maccabi Tel Aviv, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, but those are all good things.
Yeah, and just a word about, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv, because we didn't have a chance to, or I didn't have a chance to really talk after the game against Haifa. And then, you know, the derby, the 0-0 draw. And, you know, after the Haifa game, you were like, okay, Karanka really surprised everyone. And then, you know, you saw the problem that Maccabi Tel Aviv has had in the 0-0 draw against teams that they'll be facing, and that is something Karanka will have to learn, that in Israel sometimes teams are not exactly there to play. They're there to take the points and do everything in their power to do so. And playing against Maccabi Tel Aviv, you'll probably be facing, you know, 11 or two lines of pretty much five players. And, you know, Apo Tel Aviv did a great job, and, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv didn't stand the pressure, even though they had an amazing opportunity getting closer to Maccabi Haifa. After Maccabi Haifa, you know, blew it just a couple of hours earlier against Bnei Reina, finishing a 0-0 draw in Sami Ofer. But, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv and Karanka will have to start learning and learn how to work with what they have without Oscar Gluck. And the first test wasn't good. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they change it.
You mentioned Dia Saba. He was about to sign in Turkey, and all of a sudden that falls by the wayside, and Maccabi Haifa swoop in and snatch him up. What was the story behind this signing?
Yeah, so, you know, we heard that, you know, Dia Saba that terminated his contract from his Turkish team that he started the season at, was looking for, you know, more, for a better contract, a better team. He was more looking into going back to the Emirates, where he had a great time and did some nice cash, let's say it like that. you know, he got an offer to go back to Turkey. It wasn't exactly what he wanted. But I guess the score or the result on Saturday for Maccabi Haifa led to Gal Alberman and Barak Bachar to make the move, you know, after selling Netel Avi, and they brought Goni Naor from Apoel Jerusalem. They felt it's not enough and they need some firepower. And, you know, Dia Saba was pretty much the best player on the market to bring in. And, you know, they swooped in quick. gave him, you know, the contract he wanted. Maccabi Haifa is a team that, you know, Dia Saba grew, you know,
grew up in.
Grew up on, you know, being from Majdal Krum, if I remember correctly. And when, you know, he pretty much already was able to sign, not sign, but, you know, to agree on a contract with Maccabi Haifa. There was also Maccabi Tel Aviv that was trying to put pressure on him to, you know, join them and even offered him more money. But because he's from the north area of Israel and it's closer for him to home, he decided to go to Maccabi Haifa. We should know that he does have buyouts to the Emirates. So he's still keeping, you know, that door open. But, you know, now he's the highest paid player in Maccabi Haifa. He's their deal breaker. You know, if just a couple of years ago, Atsidi came in as the you know, January transfer back then and led to Haifa's championship after so many years. Dia Saba is supposed to be that game changer for Maccabi Haifa, who's having a really hard time scoring these days. So it will be really interesting how he fits in that mold of Barak Bachar. And again, you know, just an amazing job by Gal Alberman.
Yeah, there you
know,
you go.
And Yankale Shachel. And we should, you know, we
who would
should
you rather
them
have, when, if you're Maccabi Tel Aviv right now, who would you rather have as your director? Gal Alberman?
I've been saying it for a long time now that Maccabi Tel Aviv's biggest miss was, you know, not on players. It was on their, you know, head of soccer operations, football operations, however you want to call it, not taking Gal Alberman over Barak Itzhaki. And, you know, that's been the difference between the two teams. You know, you look at Haifa's roster, you see the changes they make, how fast they move. You know, they're always ready with plans B or C or D. You know, where the Planich move in the winter, you know, just before the season was, you know, the class act. You know, there was a buyout, they bought, you know, he was sold for the buyout, and they brought in two players, not even one. They were so ready for it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with Gloch and Maccabi Tel Aviv, what they haven't done. So that's just the difference right now between these two teams. And it says a lot, you know, it just says a lot. And you see how quiet Gal Alberman is and how quiet Maccabi Haifa is compared to Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And in the end of the day, that wins championships.
Yeah, that wins. That's the deal. No question. No question about it. Let's move on. Edin Kartsev, finally, he doesn't go to Russia, which was rumored over the summer, of course. Well, he did and he didn't. He kind of went there and then came back. But yes, Edin Kartsev signed with Başakşehir of Istanbul. Obviously, Kartsev, 22 years old, a Maccabi Tel Aviv product. Yet another Maccabi Tel Aviv product, right? Goes abroad. What do you think about this move? I mean, Kartsev has not had a good season, right? I mean, he's not played well. Obviously, he's been thinking about his future for the first half a year. So hopefully this will now kind of, you know, lighten it up on him and he will be able to perform. But Başakşehir is a big club. It's a big club.
Yeah.
Maccabi Netanya got paid 2.3 million euros for him. And he signed on a 4.5 year deal. So that's pretty good for him.
Yeah, and it's an interesting move because Başakşehir played against Maccabi Netanya in the Europa League qualifiers, and that's pretty much when they saw, you know, Edin Kartsev for the first time. And they, but by the way, we didn't even say anything about it, but Neta Levi left, you know, Maccabi
Netanya
officially
we'll get him,
too.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute, but let's finish with
Kartsev. So Neta Levi was Başakşehir's main number one target. But after, you know, he went to Japan, Edin Kartsev was the second one on the list. And, you know, it's a really interesting case because there are two options, and we'll have to see, first of all, how Edin Kartsev, you know, changes his, you know, life and moves to a place like Turkey, which is, you know, not European, a bit different, you know, from what we have. Maybe it's closer to Israel in a way, if we look at it like that, but, you know, it's a foreign country for the first time, and that is going to be interesting on one point. And, you know, he has the physicality and he has the talent to make that step. And we'll have to see how a team like Beşiktaş that has high hopes and high goals can, you know, how he can integrate into that team. And that will be really interesting. And I just don't, I hope it won't be like the Deron Lagner story that, you know, he went to a club like Olympiakos and pretty much, you know, got swollen up, you know, in there. And, you know, in the end, now Deron Lagner is in Austria Vienna on loan. But he had a bad half year, and we'll have to see how Edin Kartsev does. Because as you said, he didn't have a great, you know, first half of the season.
I think he was just totally bamboozled with this situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not easy, especially when you're, you know, young and you have this dream, and, you know, we saw him even, you know, like, I don't want to say cry, but you saw the tears in his eyes going out and, you know, being appreciative for this moment. And it's going to be really, really interesting how, you know, another young Israeli player will be able to go out to Europe in a tough league. You know, Turkey is not an easy league.
No.
Play in. So we'll have to see how Edin Kartsev does, and we'll be, you know, tracking him because he's been a main player for Alon Hazan. And don't be surprised if there's something behind the national team trying to push all of these players to Europe and at a really young age as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's good for Israel, right? And of course. Yeah,
and this was Willy Rothensteiner's, you know, big, you know, dream.
Right.
And he always said, you know, if you're young and you're talented, you're not supposed to be playing here. And we're just seeing it more and more from year to year. You know, when was the last time we saw so many young players beat Israel to, you know, big, I don't want to say big teams in Europe, but, you know, higher teams, you know, in big leagues as well. You know, Turkey, Austria, we've seen before, but, you know, we haven't seen a team, you know, a player be linked to a Spanish league or Barcelona or whatever, like Oscar. So,
All right.
Really, really interesting.
We're on here, of course, with the Sports Rabbi Josh Ackman, Roy Shalom, going through the transfer window special over here. Neta Levi, he moves to Japan. Still, I just find it an odd place for an Israeli player to go. Obviously, there's reasons why he wants to be there. He obviously specifically wanted to go to Japan for whatever purpose. I mean, his, you know, wife, child, they're going off there. I'm sure he's getting paid nicely. What do you make of that move? I mean, I just find it, there's nothing wrong with Japan, right? But we don't really talk about the Japanese. Like, you know, it runs out, he went to China. We knew why he was going to China, right? Because they paid Maccabi Tel Aviv all kinds of money, and he wanted to go, and he got paid all kinds of money, and he made all kinds of money there. I don't look, Netel Aviv is not making Iran Zahavi type money. Unless he has some kind of business interests in Japan, or I don't know. I don't get the move at all. I mean, what are your thoughts?
First of all, you know, it seems like then there's really high hopes for Netel Aviv in his new team. And, you know, there were already talks that he can become the best, you know, midfielder in the Japanese league. And, you know, there are really high hopes for him over there. And, you know, the Japanese league it seems like it's been getting better and better. And we also saw Japan in the World Cup, how they've improved, and, you know, they have this 100-year plan of becoming, you know, a top soccer nation. worldwide, and you know, so far the plan has went well, and I think that's one of the reasons of them going, you know, and looking for players from outside. Now, would you say Netel Aviv is, you know, a huge name, you know, like let's say the MLS has been trying to do, you know, bringing in, you know, these names? No, he's not the big name, but he's a talented, you know, was the best midfielder here in Israel throughout this half year for sure, you know, leading Maccabi Haifa in the Champions League, which, you know, we always say Champions League group stage always big, you know, gives and brings interest from places that you might have not have thought of. And this is pretty much, you know, one of the reasons behind it. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see Netel Aviv play over there and how he, you know, gets, you know, integrated into the Japanese league. And, you know, we know how hard Japanese are. You know, it's not going to be easy, but I think it's a great challenge for him. Something, you know, he's, you know, living and pursuing his dreams. And it's going to be also really exciting to see, and you know, we'll wait and see how that goes. But it seems like it's the right spot for him. They've been really waiting for him the past month. We've known about this deal for such a long time now. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see Netel Aviv in Japan.
All right, here are some other signings that just went down. Grigory Morozov, a Jewish Russian right back, signs with Beitar Jerusalem. And you gotta love this guy's name, Fred Friday. How awesome a name is Fred Friday, right? Fred Friday is about to sign with Beitar Jerusalem also. So Beitar Jerusalem's definitely, you know, looking to make some moves here, and they want to strengthen their squad. They definitely were not happy with the loss against the Khedira. That's not really behind the reasons of all these that they're going to make these signings, but you know, you got to be happy for Beitar that they're starting to pick up some players here, and you know, trying to do something for Yossi Abouxis, who you know, kind of really worked wonders up until now.
Yeah, and you know, we're seeing also where they're mainly getting stronger, and that's mainly on the defensive side. So, you know, there's a new goalkeeper who's Portuguese, and he's going to be interesting because he came in as the number one. You know, he's coming from the worst defense in Portugal, so that is one. But he's like first or he's second in most saves in Portugal as well. So just, you know, understanding the situation, and you know, he's a player with a lot of talent and has been, you know, I think he was also on the U19 of Portugal, the national team. So, you know, it's an interesting signing for Beitar, and it's good to see that Beitar's active because, you know, they were very good at the end, you know, of this stretch of, you know, the season, and they're showing, you know, since pretty much the World Cup, they're showing that they're a top division team. So making the right moves, and it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, they really hit on the spot, because if so, Beitar is going to be in the top division, and they're going to give problems. I don't know if they're going to give problems to the really big teams, if it's Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa, and Hapoel Be'er Sheva. But no one will want to go to Teddy in front of, you know, the fans that are starting to come back against the Yossi Abouxis team. So it seems like they're doing the right things and pressing on the right buttons. But again, we'll have to see how these players integrate into Yossi Abouxis' system. He has a very specific system. And what we should say about Yossi Abouxis is he knows how to pick his players. throughout the years, especially the foreigners. You know, we're seeing Asprilla that, you know, we saw last year that didn't work with Beersheba, and we're seeing, you know, your Denchua just come back and be the spectacular player. And
well, he's
Nicolesco.
So it seems that he matured.
Right. So we're seeing, you know, Abuxis knows how to take advantage of the players that he wants. And it seems like he really picked exactly who these players and why he brought them. So Beitar looks stronger, Beitar looks better, and that's really good for the league.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this. We see some other signings here. Stanislav Belinko to Maccabi Netanya. And then there's a rumor now coming from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Luka Manello from Dino Zagreb, who's a winger. All right. Is there any other people, players that we missed up here? I think there was somebody for Apollo Beersheba, Patrick Klimala. Signing as a forward, Polish forward, who was with the New York Red Bulls, Celtic as well. What do you know about this player?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because this is a player that, you know, was purchased for 4 million euros just not too long ago. And he tried his luck in the MLS, but, you know, had only 11 goals in the two seasons over there. And, you know, he's 24 years old, which is, you know, pretty young. And, and coming to Beersheba, it's a really interesting, move by the team, over there, because they've been looking for this, you know, real striker. They have Tomer Chemet, they have, Somani, they have, you know, their superstar with, you know, Shafi, who's been, you know, lights out. But they're looking for this, you know, someone that will close the deal. And, you know, the track record looks great. And you're like, what does he have to come to Israel? But, you know, I guess, you know, Beersheba said that they've been looking at him for a while now. And now they were able to really strike gold with him. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he joins the mix, because right now in Beersheba, Barda is, first of all, incredible what he's been doing over there with, you know, the roster, just plugging and playing everyone. You know, it doesn't matter who's coming in. He's like doing this Ivic style that, you know, it doesn't matter who he's putting in, they're contributing. And right now, you know, they are in third place, 7 points back from Maccabi Haifa, but they also have a game back, and you know, they've been, right now they look as the better of the three teams in this form. Let's say right now their form is better. So Beersheba are making some moves. They were also looking into Matan Bartaksa, that was with Maccabi Tel Aviv, a central defender, or you can also, he's sometimes he can play as a left defensive back. And, you know, he just signed this summer with Austria Vienna. It's not exactly working well over there. And that is something to look after. If they're able to add on to their defense, that will be really interesting as well. By the way, we didn't talk about, you know, this player for a while, but I have to bring him up, and that's Eidon Almog, who's in a really tough situation in Austria, and his team, he hasn't integrated well over there, but he's already played for Maccabi Tel Aviv this year. So he played for two teams, and he can't move to any other team than Maccabi Tel Aviv. And right now he's practicing alone. And, you know, just a couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember or not, but Moshe Chogeg wanted to buy this kid for Beitar Jerusalem for, you know, a high amount, you know, before he thought about maybe buying Oscar Gloch. But Eidon Almog was one of the top talents here in Israel, you know, just a couple of years ago, and really hasn't found his spot. And right now he's just practicing on his own, as Maccabi Tel Aviv are not running after bringing him back. And his only other option is to go to a team that is on the winter side of the transfer window. So what does it mean? That, you know, that they start playing in the winter, which is their new season. We'll call it like that. So it will be interesting because he's a young player. He's talented, but hasn't really been able to find himself in the pros so far.
Quite amazing, pretty interesting. Any final thoughts, Roshan, before we let you go?
You know, we have now the State Cup, and Maccabi Haifa are going to be playing Maccabi Netanya, which is pretty much the top, you know, the top game over there. And it's, you know, now in the quarterfinals, it's going to be home and away. So if you do see a surprise, you know, remember that there's, you know, another game. And the first game will be in Netanya, so we'll see what Ran Kozak's team will be able to do against Barak Bakar, who will be back, you know, on the sidelines after he was suspended for one game, and we saw his team not great against Bnei Reina. So it's going to be interesting to see how they make the change and are able to. You know, to get back on track because we're getting into money time. And, you know, Maccabi Haifa, who wants to win, you know, all of the titles here in Israel, will be playing against a team that has really improved lately with Maccabi Netanya, who also, you know, won the Toto Cup just a couple of weeks ago. So, we'll have to wait and see. And by the way, we haven't even had a chance to talk about this, but Maccabi Netanya won a title here in Israel after many, many
Many
years.
years, the
But
Toto
that's
Cup.
not the spe the Toto Cup. But that's not the special point that I want to bring up. The special point is they didn't even score one goal throughout all of their games in the competition.
Unbelievable.
So
Roei Shalom, I got to cut you off here. Where can people find you?
you can find me on Arshalom on Twitter. Feel free to just, you know, text me and send me messages over there.
And of course, me at the
And
Sports Rabbi,
yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both. Thanks so much for coming on board. We'll speak to you soon.